Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Alan Lee, and welcome to episode 52 of The Vampire Squid. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about term sheets. And the reason I thought of this episode was because I was watching Silicon Valley over the weekend, and Ehrlich Bachman, who's one of the funniest characters in the show, was saying, basically, if you utter the words virtual reality, they're going to throw a term sheet at you. So I thought it'd be fun and useful to cover what a term sheet actually is and what it's used for. As always, if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to visit my website, thevampiresquid.com. You can always email me at Alan, A-L-A-N, at thevampiresquid.com. And please check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. So the way I want to structure today's episode is first go over when a term sheet comes and what is a term sheet. And in the second part, I want to go over specific items on the term sheet. And a term sheet can be quite complex in terms of what's actually on the term sheet and what each of the items mean. We'll go over some of the most common items on the term sheet and what they mean at a high level, but every term sheet is bespoke and unique, and new structures can be created every day. But we're going to focus on term sheets for equity investments, and there's obviously term sheets for debt investments or credit investments, but today we're just going to focus on term sheets for equity investments. So a term sheet is usually a signal, one of the first steps before a major investment by, say, a venture capital firm. So the process could go something like this. You and your company go meet a venture capital firm. You present to them your company and your idea, and you show them your management presentation. You give them a few high-level numbers and growth rates and the TAM, and they seem to like you, and they want to get to know you a little bit more. And based on the preliminary information that you provided, they may provide you with a term sheet if they like you. So the term sheet, what it'll have on it is an indication of how much they're willing to invest and at what valuation, obviously. So the term sheet is not a binding agreement in terms of the value that they're going to invest into the company or at what valuation, but it is binding in certain other areas. For example, the term sheet is binding in terms of being in exclusivity. So what that means is if this venture capital firm was to invest into your company and they give you a term sheet and you sign the term sheet and it's in exclusivity, that means you can't go to other venture capital firms and look for investments, because from the venture capital standpoint, they want to make sure that they have your full attention, you're giving them everything they need, and they don't want to do all this work when you can just go to another shop and then someone might hop in the middle and just steal their investment. And another one of the most common ones is confidentiality. And confidentiality is basically what it sounds like. You're not allowed to discuss this investment or this investment process with your friends or family or other people outside of the company. So those are the binding parts of the of a term sheet, but the actual amount that they'll invest, at what valuation, and other terms, those are not necessarily binding at this point. So as I mentioned, usually a venture capital firm will give you the term sheet before they want to do their due diligence. And you might have heard this term quite a bit, but due diligence is basically looking for more information and understanding your company better. So you know how you gave that preliminary information and high-level growth rates in the beginning? They may want to dive deeper into specific segments of your product, you know, how your product is growing, what your roadmap is. They might want to dissect and go into the technology behind your product, and get much more granular and more comfortable with everything about your company, including the product, including your employees, including your roadmap and marketing, every other thing that's in a company. They'll want to get deeper into your company so they get comfortable with making this investment. And so the term sheet could be used for Series A, B, C, D, C fund, but usually a company or a venture capital firm will provide a term sheet before they go into the due diligence process, which is before they ultimately make an investment into your company. So now what is actually on a term sheet? So at the very highest level, obviously the term sheet will have how much the venture capital firm is willing to invest, and at what valuation. So a lot of times, you might hear of the terms pre-money valuation and post-money valuation. Basically, pre-money valuation is how much the venture capital firm thinks your company is worth today. And post-money valuation is how much your company is worth today, plus the amount of money that venture capital firm invests into your company. So to make it easier to understand in terms of numbers, say a venture capital firm thinks that your company is worth $10 million today. Now this venture capital firm is willing to invest $5 million. So the pre-money valuation is $10 million. The post-money valuation is $15 million. And after $15 million, the venture capital firm will own 33% of your company because they invested $5 million and they have to divide that by your post-money valuation of 15. So 5 divided by 15 equals 33%. Now we're finished with the easy part. The hard part is what type of preferences their investment has in your company. So usually the founder and the other people in the company and employees own common stock, but venture capitalists will invest into the company at something called preferred shares. And what preferred shares or preferred stock is basically it is common stock, but it has many preferences over common stock in terms of distributions, redemption, liquidation. So one of the most common types of preferences is a liquidation preference. And a liquidation preference is basically what happens to the investor's money during a liquidation event. And a liquidation event could be the sale of your company, or it could be your company going to bankruptcy and a sale of all your assets. So at the simplest terms, a liquidation preference is usually a multiple of your investment. So back to that example of if I invested $5 million into a company that I believe was $10 million, I could have a 1x liquidation preference, I could have a 2x liquidation preference, or a 3x liquidation preference. What that means is basically if I have a 2x liquidation preference is I get 2x my investment before anyone else gets any of their money back. So if I sold that company for $10 million, I would get all of that $10 million back before anyone in the company would get any money. If I sold for $15 million, I'd get the first $10 million back, and then the remainder of the $5 million we would split based on our pro rata share amount, or how much we own of the company. And a liquidation preferences can get a little bit more complex into a non-participating preference, a participating preference without a cap, a participating preference with a cap, but that's a little bit too nuanced and we can go into that at a later date. But I'll also post some show notes, some good links of information in case you guys are interested in learning a little bit more about that. Another term on the term sheet is usually board seats. Typically in the earlier stages of investment in terms of a seed A or seed B, and if it's an investor leading the round, they'll usually ask for one or two board seats on your company. And the reason they want a board seat is so that they have some sense of control over their investment. They're able to govern a little bit about your company and oversee what your company is doing on a day-to-day basis, as well as have a governance in what path you choose to take the company. Another item on the term sheet is also information rights. And information rights could be something like a quarterly update of your financials, of your growth rates, basically so that the investor can see into how the company is performing, if they need to help make any changes, basically just to make sure that they're also aware of what's going on with the company, because now they have a vested interest in your company since they've invested, you know, X dollars into your company. Then you also have some protective provisions on the term sheet, and a protective provision are things like veto rights or blocking rights and other negative covenants. Basically, these are just things where you can't do things without the investor's consent. So for example, if your company was looking to acquire another company, an investor, if they had certain protective provisions in their term sheet or in their investor documents, then they could potentially block that acquisition if they think it would be detrimental to your company. Then you have other items on the term sheet like anti-dilution effects. So basically, if I was raising that $5 million at a $10 million pre-money valuation and $15 million post-money valuation if the company goes along and further down the line and raises at a $5 million valuation. I would have anti-dilution on my investment, so I would theoretically get a bigger percentage of the pie because that would protect my investment. There are things like preemptive rights, which is the right to participate in any of the future financings that the company participates in. There's things like pay to play, right of first refusal. There's just so many items that could be on a term sheet. But the general gist is these items are there to effectively protect the venture capitalists or angel investors' investment into your company or increase the chances that they get a return on their investment. So as you probably can see by now, most of these items are hotly debated, and there's a lot of negotiation back and forth in terms of what rights do this investor have, what preferences do they have, what preferences does the company get, and it's really important to make sure you have the right preferences and the right terms down early on in the investment, because usually the later investments that follow on just sort of piggyback on the Series A or the seed investment. So it's really important to make sure that you get it right the first time, because then the people that invest later down the line will want the same rights that the first investor had. And if they have really good rights, it'll be difficult to say no to people further down the line. So I hope that was a bit helpful in giving an introduction to what a term sheet is and some of the items that are on a term sheet. I will definitely include a link to a sample term sheet that I found that is pretty interesting in case you guys are interested in taking a look at what a term sheet could look like, as well as a presentation that I found on term sheets that explains it pretty well. So I hope that was helpful. And as always, if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to visit my website, thevampiresquid.com. You can always shoot me an email at Alan, A-L-A-N, at thevampiresquid.com. And please check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. Also, I'd highly appreciate it if you guys wouldn't mind leaving a review. And until next time, I'll talk to you then.